Greetings to each one this morning, and I just want to start out and bless y'all for, as I sit here this morning and listen, the way that y'all reach out to the people around you, and I just want to bless you for that. As we hear, as it comes in from the community, where you've helped with the storm, help with Choir Fest, the walk in the store, you've been blessed people there. And it's good to sit here and hear that. It encourages me. And so I just want to say thank you for reaching out to others like that. I'm going to say this morning that I failed this week in getting, we had taken a vote on the pregnancy care center, getting the bottles, and I did not realize that they are closed on Friday, and they only open till 1 o'clock every other day. And so I called them expecting that I could call them and walk in and pick these things up. And anyhow, I contacted them, and they were like, okay, well, they're, you know, closed, just about to close on Thursday, and we're closed Friday. And so I was not able to get those. I am scheduled to pick those up on Wednesday. So I will plan to have them here next weekend. I was going to have them here this weekend to start. So, but I will have them here for next weekend. So they will be, I'll put them in the back, and you're welcome to take them and fill them. And then we'll plan on having them back. They like to go from Mother's Day to Father's Day. So if we can have them back by Father's Day, and then we'll turn around and I'll carry them back to them. So sorry about not getting them here by this weekend for you. I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers here, and I want to bless each of you for all that you do for your families, for your children. And there are also ones here that have stepped in and been a mother to children that aren't theirs, and I want to bless you as well. As I was talking this week to someone that has done that, and I'm not sure how you do it, to take someone else and especially with the foster, and take them and have them for a little bit, and then they are gone again, and your heart attaches to them, and then they leave. But I want to bless you for taking on that as well. Being a mother isn't an easy task. I enjoy looking at quotes, and I saw a couple of them as I was studying for this. One of them said, "Motherhood is tough. If you just want a wonderful little creature to love, you can get a puppy." And there was another one that says, "Once you sign on to be a mother, 24/7 is the only shift they give you, is the only shift they offer." But we are thankful for our mothers today. As I was looking at or thinking about preaching for Mother's Day, I said, well, what do I preach on Mother's Day? I can't say how to be a mother because I can't tell you that. But as I was looking at examples in the Bible, thinking of examples in the Bible of being a mother, and this morning we are going to look at one that we really don't know much about her, very little, just a little bit about her. And that story is in Exodus 2. We'll turn our Bibles there this morning to Exodus 2. And I wasn't sure if I was going to back up and read a little bit of the setting before that, but I think I'll just tell you what was happening, and then we'll read actually about the story of this woman in the Bible. And this is the story of Moses' mother, and her name is actually only mentioned, I think there's 4 places in the Bible that it talks about Moses' mother. And there's only one place that mentions her name, and that is in the genealogy. So if you enjoy reading genealogies, you'll see it. Otherwise, you probably won't see her name. But the children of Israel were in Egypt and working under King Pharaoh. And the King Pharaoh that Joseph had been under had now passed away. And Joseph had passed away, and now they were under the new King Pharaoh. And he didn't know about Joseph, didn't know as much about Joseph as the original one and all the things that had happened there. And he now gave the order for the midwives to take the, he was worried about how fast the Israelites were growing. So he told the midwives that they were to get rid of all the male, or to get rid of the male children. And we know the story that the midwives didn't do that. And so now Pharaoh gave the order to that they must be thrown in the Nile. And we'll back up. Actually, we'll back up to verse 19 in chapter 1. We'll start there. Chapter 1, verse 19 says, the midwives answered Pharaoh. I'm sorry. Let's go to verse 20. God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because of the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Then Pharaoh gave this order to all his people. Every Hebrew boy that is born you must throw into the Nile, but let every girl live. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. When Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe and her attendants were walking along the riverbank, she saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying and she felt sorry for him. This is one of the Hebrew babies, she said. Then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you? Yes, go, she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you. So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, I drew him out of the water. They were living in some hard times. Joseph was gone. Things that had brought them to Egypt have now changed. Pharaoh saw the Hebrews as a threat to his kingdom. In this account here, the baby boys' lives were at stake. Have you ever thought, living in the time you do, times get worse, and you wonder what your children will face? Is it worth bringing them into this world with what they have to face? I'm sure some of these questions have gone through our minds. But it's in times like these that we need young men and young women who will stand for God. The world needs your light, my light, the next generation's light, to shine in the darkness. This isn't the only example we have of this. We have examples of this with Joseph. We have example of this with Daniel, Esther, the three Hebrew boys, where they all took a stand and impacted nations. Nations were exposed to God, and God's name was exalted. We need those people that are willing to stand. What they were facing in this story was no longer just hard labor, slavery, but it now becomes moral hardship, hardship that could cost their life if they stood up for what was right. So this morning, I want to look a little bit at, actually, first of all, let's get asked, who knows what Moses' mother's name was? Okay. Gina, did you? Jochebed. Okay. Her name was Jochebed. And if you want to read it in the genealogies, it is in chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 is where it lists Amram. And Jochebed was Moses' parents, and that's the only place that it is listed. They are the other two places besides this story where it's listed is in Acts 7 and in the faith chapter in Hebrews 11 are the four places in Scripture that it talks about Moses and his birth, or little pieces of it. This morning, We want to look at Jochebed and her example that she left as she lived. First of all, I have three things that I want to take as an example from Jochebed. And the first one is that she believed and she feared God. She reverenced God. Now, it wasn't just Jochebed in this story. There were the two midwives as well that also believed and feared God. And because of that, God blessed them. Life is a gift from God. They saw life as a gift from God. In Psalm 127, 3-5, it talks about children being a heritage from God, and it says it is God's reward to us. Now, this would have been before the Psalms were written, before the law was given, and yet it talks about them fearing God and following God. They stood and did upon what they knew what was right, and they feared God. And Jochebed feared God in this story as well. First, we must fear God. We must believe Him. Willing to do God's will at any cost. It could have cost Jochebed her life. It could have cost the midwives their life. And yet, they were willing to risk it to follow God at any cost. We heard about that as Paul this morning in Sunday school as well. Paul was willing to share the gospel, to share God's love at any cost. In Matthew 16, 24-26, Jesus told his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" First of all, we must be willing, we must believe God, fear Him, willing to obey Him at any cost. Number two, we see Jochebed doing whatever or as much as she could with what she had been given. How many of you mothers here this morning, when your child was born, looked at your child and said, "This isn't a fine child"? I think each one, when your child's born, you say it's a fine child. It says here that when Moses was born, they looked at him and said he was a fine child. Now I wonder, did Jochebed know something about Moses, something about looking at him? Did God give her something in her heart that she knew that something was different about him? It doesn't say. There's a good possibility. We see that in other mothers in Scripture, in Hannah, Elizabeth, Mary, different ones that with Mary it says she tucked it away in her heart. There was something different, and she tucked it away. Not always do moms have the whole picture of what will happen, but they have an intuition of something that's different. There might be some of you sitting here that have looked at your child, something different with that child, something that you feel God has something and it's tucked away in your heart, and that's okay. But I wonder if Jochebed didn't feel that. And she was diligent to teach, that she would prepare them to teach Moses. Physically, she did all she could. First of all, she cared for him for 3 months until she could hide him no longer. And it doesn't say why she couldn't hide him any longer. We could read between the lines and come up with our own ideas. It doesn't say. But when she could hide him no longer, she did the next step, and she carefully made a boat to keep him safe. It calls it a basket. Some places call it an ark. She carefully coated it with what it calls pitch. If you look it up in the Strong's Concordance, calls it something like asphalt, but something that's going to protect it and seal it. She did all she could to protect him. Next of all, she placed it among the reeds, somewhere that it was safe, that it couldn't go washing down the river, that it could be accessed. wonder what's going through her mind as she puts it in, and she sets Miriam, Moses' sister, to watch over it. I'm sure she spent a lot of time crying out to God to look out for this child, setting this basket in the river with the crocodiles, and not knowing it could be, he could be at risk by animals, he could be at risk by the king, by being found. And yet, she set his boat in the river, somewhat saying, putting it into God's hands, doing all she can, and now giving it over to God to take care of it. There's a saying that goes, when life gives you lemons, make lemonade. That's a little bit what it feels like for Jochebed. She was given a hard task. She was put in a hard spot, but she did her best to make the best out of it. She did what she physically could do. And then the third thing I have is trust in God. As she put that basket in the river, she was putting the baby back in God's hands. Hebrews 11 says it this way, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. She had no promise to see her son again or of what would happen. But she put her trust in God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will make straight your paths. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4 says, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Jeremiah 17, verse 7 and 8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. Ruth Bell Graham said this, as a mother, my job is to take care of the possible and trust God with the impossible. And then prayer. I'm sure Jochebed spent much time thinking and calling on God to watch over and protect her son. Not just this day, not just while he was in the basket. While she had a little bit of time with him, it wasn't long until he went to live in the king's house, and she had separation from him at an early age. Again, having to trust God and protect and watch over him. Do all we can, trust God, and then spend much time praying. Now I want to look just a little bit on the story on how amazing God is. First of all, we see that God protected Moses. Second of all, in this whole story, God created a soft spot in Pharaoh's daughter's heart for this child. God opened the path for Moses to be trained to be able to fulfill God's plan. And then, to top all that off, how many of you mothers get paid to raise your child? If you read in the story, this story says that she said to take the child and raise the child, and I will pay you for it. It's like just a little bit of, what do you say, the icing on the cake, I guess, that she gave Moses over to God to take care of it, and a little bless from God to Jochebed to be able to take care of her child. Yes, she had trust. She had to keep trusting God. She had to give her child up at an early age. And yet, just to feel God, know that God is right there and God knows what's going on and God has it in his hands. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Some others, as you go day by day, if we look at the example of Jochebed, fear, reverence, love God. Do your best with what God has given you. Trust everything into God's hands and pray much for your child. There are two quotes this morning that I'm going to leave you with the mothers this morning. The first one, "The influence of a mother in the lives of her children is beyond calculation." And the second one, "Your greatest contribution in the kingdom of God might not be something you do, but someone you raise." So may God bless you as you are a mother to your children and as you seek to teach them and to instruct them in God's ways. May God bless you. Brian, do you have a song?
Thank you, praise 674.
All right.